There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Tuesday edition of the show. Of course, it's the second Tuesday of the month. Our guest in this hour, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your chance to ask the sheriff. You can do that on the phone line and the text line, which are both 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use the TalkBack feature, which is that, looks like a microphone. It's an icon there. If you'll press it, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back there as well. All right, without further ado, here he is, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
I want to step off right now into the biggest story, the kind of manhunt story in the nation with this Mangione. And, you know, I had my little quip there with Jeff. It does seem for somebody who is so anti-corporate, and he sure went to Starbucks and McDonald's.
Yeah.
You'd think he would shop local maybe, you know, and stay out of the dragnet. But he didn't, and he got picked up. When you watch that as a detective, now you're sheriff, but, I mean, your blood is detective blood. How did you see that breaking down? Did you feel like this would be quick find? I mean, and I'm thinking about technology, like quick find with technology we have, take it back 30 years, have the same situation. Would it be longer? Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, with the technology this day, it was a matter of time. I mean, he left enough, you know, evidence behind and obviously several good facial shots that mm-hmm. it was just a matter of time. And you know, thankfully, you know, a lot of people do watch the news and pay attention, whether that's physical on the TV or on the phone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what got him caught.
Yeah, it was interesting that where he had the face mask up, and it's something I thought about back during COVID, that how often when you made it normal to have a face mask on, how often that would be used to thwart facial recognition. You know, people wouldn't think anything odd. I mean, I was in the airports a bunch over the last, you know, couple weeks, and people face mask everywhere.
Yep.
And then, you know, people wear their, they must be colder natured than I am. They wear hoodies inside, which makes my head sweat. But, you know, that could be a normal look. But then he had these moments where he, you know, they said he was flirting with a barista or something like that and pulled down his mask. And I guess that's what got him.
Yep. I mean, again, that's, you know, it was, I haven't been able to follow it in detail as I would like to, because honestly I hadn't been home to watch the mm-hmm. news here in the last week or so. But what I have been able to follow, you know, I'm still want to know details about, you know, his reasoning and you know.
Yeah, that got to be, it does have to be interesting for all of us, but especially as a detective, because quite often these people either die in a gunfight with law enforcement or kill themselves or something like that. And we don't, then there's a bunch of people going, well, what I think he was doing,
yep.
But in this case, they got the guy.
They got him. And he'll want to tell his story, you know, sooner or later. So.
And how does that help you beyond, okay, now we understand this guy. Say he spills the beans and he's a talker and you figure this out. Is that good for just that case, or can you take something from that? Would you take something from that as a detective and see something somewhere else and go, you know, is there any kind of, you know, you learn to work on a Ford, but you, you're working on a Buick and you go, okay, well, it makes sense because this is kind of the same? Or
It is. There are elements of each crime that you can maybe apply to another one that, you know, whether it's the surveillance aspect of it and, you know, because he wasn't as careful as I'm sure he wanted to be in getting caught, but he clearly planned this out
mm-hmm.
for a length of time. And And that's really unusual, you know, nowadays in most crimes. Most of those shootings like that are, you know, they make their mind up, they go do it, and that's that.
It's a crime of passion, of, yeah. Even though this is,
or,
I think...
Or anger, you just, you know, they
but
don't...
But this is, it sounds like, well, I mean, all theorizing now, but that it is anger and passion with this guy, but he did it at a longer...
Yeah. I mean, he put some planning into it.
Talking about the 3D printed guns in this, we see anything here on that? Are people using that?
We haven't seen a lot of the 3D printed guns, but we have seen the 3D printed, you know, Glock switches or trigger activators. Yeah,
you know, that was the idea when, you know, 3D printing came up, and it's a neat thing. I mean, it's kind of, I got a little kit for my son years ago. We played with it and mixed this smelly goop and, you know, made like Star Wars guys and all that. But I didn't understand how the material that was used was ever going to make all the components of a gun. And I'm not knowledgeable in this. Can you? Or?
I mean, yes. I mean, you can, you know, there are certain parts that obviously have to be metal to, you know, withstand right. the, you know,
that's what I'm trying to understand.
Bullet,
yeah.
But, you know, you can, my understanding, again, I'm not real versed in it, but you can 3D print most of the, you know, the body of the gun and then order parts.
But then you have to get a bar- I mean, we're probably not, I'm not telling the bad guy anything they don't already know, but I mean, like the barrel, a barrel can't, I mean, you have to have a metal barrel, don't you?
Yeah.
And a firing pin. And
unless you're only going to shoot it once or twice. So,
yeah.
And a firing pin would have to be.
Yeah. Metal. So, I mean, I'm just thinking of those components when they said, well, people be printing guns out the yin yang. And I was being around guns once or twice in my life. I was like, well, there's a lot of components there that need to be hard.
Well, it's, happens a good bit, unfortunately. I've been to some conferences where, you know, one of the federal agencies, you know, during that training session would show videos on how they're made and how quickly they can be made. It's pretty fascinating.
So, but there is going to be some components that they would have to get
to finalize
it. All right, I got questions coming in here from the text line for Sheriff Birch. First up here, Dirt Digger says to tell you thank you from he for you and your deputies and staff for helping the family who lost their loved ones in the Gulf, and the Cajun Navy praying for the family.
I appreciate it. I said we're still out there and determined to find Lil Hunter. So
yeah, it's. You know, I started thinking about the you know, weather conditions that day and kind of where they were, because they, you know, came up, they were in Pelican Bay. I was like, well, you know, Pelican Bay is somewhat protected, but if you have an east wind, it sure as heck not. If you're coming around, if you come around the end of Fort Gaines.
Yeah. Well, and believe it or not, it was only in 10 and a half foot of water is, you know, where we found the boat. And so it's not like it was, you know.
But, you know, it can get real rough.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. The fire dog saying the spring and firing pin need to be metal. The rest can be printed. Okay, there it is. So spring and firing pin.
Yep.
So the barrel too. This is maybe another show we need to do one day. I don't. I guess you said if you just shoot it once or twice, the barrel can still be that.
I would guess. I mean, a disposable gun, basically.
Yeah. It just it seems like it. Okay. Learning some understanding here on it. And since we talked last, there's a couple things here I want to talk with you about. First of all, this pretty big story here of Mobile County Sheriff's Office taking over ankle monitor and monitoring ankle monitors.
Yep.
What precipitates this? What was the straw that that did this?
Well, it's something that the judges have discussed with me probably for about a year now. And, you know, we had not, you know, in-depth conversations about it, but then there was a couple of events that mm-hmm. just really tipped the scales. You had the one that was out and went to the casinos mm-hmm. and such, and then another one that was, and it frustrates me even saying this, he was out on electronic monitoring for a murder
mm-hmm.
and goes and commits another murder. You know, and I have differing opinions about bond for murder cases.
Sure. I want to think of, there's the idealistic part, pragmatic part is somebody with an ankle monitor, they go outside the area they're supposed to be in. What happens?
It sets an alarm or triggers an alarm.
Where?
To whoever's supposed to be doing the monitoring. And, you know, different companies, I guess, do it different ways. the way we're going to have it set up is, you know, I'm going to hire five deputies to, you know, five deputies, a director, and an assistant to the director to oversee the program. Each deputy will be assigned X number of, you know, I guess, defendants that are out on electronic monitoring. And you set the geofence up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they, along with whatever, I guess, the judge orders, if they can go see their attorney or go to medical, you know, visits and such. And if they go outside that geofence, it sends an alert. Now, what's different in the way that we will be doing it is we have the authority to go out and make an immediate arrest where,
okay,
you know, these other companies are private citizens and, you know, can't.
Yeah, so before you took over here, so the alarm goes off, it dings back wherever that this defendant has gone out. Then what would they do? They would then have to call the sheriff's office or PD, right, to say the person's out?
Well, my understanding of the process as it is now, because we've not taken over yet,
yes,
is,
yeah,
they report it to the DA's office, and then the DA's office, you know, if it's not during business hours, you know, they will, you know, revoke their bond or file revocation the following day. Now, you know, and you know, I want to be fair to the, you know, some of these incidents too, is, you know, just because they have a monitor, it's not going to prevent them from committing another crime.
Right. I mean, if you have somebody who's going to wants to go murder somebody, they can get to the person and murder them before. There's,
yeah,
nobody going,
well,
going to get.
Possibly, you know, and you know, the equipment that we've decided to go with, we've seen some demonstrations. It takes about 20. If they decide they want to cut it off, it takes about 20 minutes to cut off because of the way they're made, and so that should give, if it's, say, somebody's out for murder, it sends a signal if it's being tampered with, and then we can immediately start law enforcement toward that location.
Okay. So this change is going to start, when do y'all take over?
I would say, we don't have a hard date, I'd say mid-January.
Okay. Know. So, and at that point, that's going to be, all the ankle monitors in Mobile County will be part of this, the responsibility of the five deputies and the people overseeing it.
Correct.
I'll tell you what, we'll go to the break. We'll come back, more of our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Your questions at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's 1-800-GOT-JUNK online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or just pick up the phone. The name is the number. And get with my buddy Trey to get the junk gone from your house, around your house. You know, big things. They remove above ground pools, swing sets, storage buildings, all those kind of things. Also, junk inside the house, and maybe even at a storage unit. It's a new year. You can have a resolution to get organized and get rid of the junk in 2025. Can you imagine? It's going to be 2025 soon. Make that appointment today and get the junk gone with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK to make your appointment. It is a good old-fashioned appointment. They work with you to find the day and time that works for you. Set the appointment, and they come by. You just point at the junk you want gone, and they'll quote your price right there on the spot. Check them out, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. We'll get to some more text here, but I want to continue on this ankle monitoring thing, because you've got, as it stands now, it sounds like there's an extra step in it compared to when y'all would take over. Because right now, independent thing, ding, okay, Sullivan's out of his geofence. Then they've got to get with the district attorney's office, and then they got to revoke the bond, and somebody's got to go get them.
Correct. Law enforcement would have to go get them after the bond revocation,
right,
which sometimes includes a hearing and you know, a delay in time.
So with your system, when y'all are running it, ding, goes off, what's your deputy do?
They immediately start rolling that way. So
sounds more efficient to me.
Yep. And it's, you know, better for public safety. you know, that if you've got somebody who has committed a crime out on bond, now clearly they're, you know, not abiding by, you know, those bond conditions, they need to be back, you know, at Metro.
You know, you talk about in cases where you have somebody out on murder charges, which, granted, we have, you know, we've talked about the Nye's Law and different things that wouldn't have that person normally using an Nye's Law could keep them from being back out on the streets. I think a lot of the folks were ignorant to the fact that ankle monitors were being used with people with those kind of charges.
Unfortunately, yes. That's, you know, and there are several. And it's, you know, again, it's my personal opinion. So, you know, I think it, for a murder, and, you know, the bond should be significant enough that, you know, most people can stay in jail. I mean, you've taken someone's life.
Yeah, and I know there's different kinds of these, you know, murder charges. But, I mean, in some of these cases where we – that the kind of cases where Nye's Laws come in, that person who is already – you know, is already in jail, went to jail for, or, you know, for murder, they're suspected of murder. Now they go back. That person might not be shocking that they would go out and do it again right away versus, I don't know, a crime of passion, something like that.
Right. And again, there are different circumstances, and, you know, the Constitution says, you know, everybody's entitled to a bond unless, you know, you meet the qualifications of a capital case and, you know, something under a Nye's Law. You know, such as that. But, you know, again, if you look at our bonds here, say, versus the bonds in Baldwin County, you know, and for violent crimes, there's a pretty significant difference.
Yeah, meaning which one's higher?
Baldwin County.
By?
Yeah, I'll just give you an example. And, you know, in the drug, you know, I worked drugs for a good bit of my career. Let's just say you get a trafficking cocaine in Mobile County, you might get a $50,000-$75,000 bond. Baldwin County is $1 million. It's been that way for as long as I can remember.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I thought you were going to say, well, you know, it's another $30,000 over there.
No, it's
$50,000 or $60,000 here, $1 million in Baldwin County.
Yep.
Wow, significant. Paying for this, for y'all to take over, you're talking about the deputies and all that, where's this money? Is it being taken away from who's doing it before, given to y'all? How's that work? So,
you know, we've come up with the numbers to get it off and running, and that's, you know, startup costs includes vehicles for the deputies, the, you know, benefits package and all that. So the city has been gracious enough to split it, you know, 50-50 with the county.
Okay.
And so there's an initial startup cost of about $1.6 million. And shortly, I'd say within a year, they will start seeing a return on that money. And you know, it won't cover everything, but the fees that the defendants have to pay will cover most of those charges. You know, like I said, we won't necessarily see the startup costs with hiring deputies, but, you know, in the end, you know, it won't make money, but it'll pretty much be a wash.
And, you know, listen, I don't need y'all to make money.
Yeah.
In public safety, I want you to, public safety. If it pays for itself, that's, yeah.
That's it.
And let's see here. Tim says, wants to thank you for Sheriff and all your deputies for their hard work and dedication protecting the citizens of Mobile County this year. Here's Peacock says, big thank you to Mr. Birch for your service. Dirt Digger says, all in our community that serve and protect us in the station, state, country, plus the world. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I mean, you're wrapping this up early here, Dirt Digger. All lives matter. Jesus is the reason for the season. God bless us all. There's a lot in that.
Well, Merry Christmas to everybody.
I guess, I mean, I hadn't even gotten shopping done. I didn't talk about that yet. Let's see. Tim says, I wish there would magically appear a list of the judges that are soft on the criminals that are issuing these bonds so we can vote them out of office.
Well, you know, I guess if you look back at some of the, you know, I guess more controversial bond issues, I'm pretty outspoken about those. And you know, I have no problem naming, you know, those judges when they make a decision that has an ill effect on the community.
I mean, it's a tough thing. I do see it. As much as I support Nye's Law and everything y'all do, I do feel part of my job, just who I am, and let alone my job here, is to make sure that it's being done with eyes towards civil liberties, right? Yep. I do take that into concern, maybe more than most people. But the argument made for an eyes law won me over in those cases.
Well, you know, and it's really two-sided for me when I look at the bond issue. You know, aside from, you know, being the top law enforcement guy in the county, I'm also the CEO of the largest all-inclusive resort in the state. So
you're on that resort now. Okay.
Yeah, so all-inclusive. But, you know, for the violent crimes, I'll stack them and pack them and put in there as much as I can. But, you know, from the bonding standpoint, reasonable bonds do help keep the population down, you know, to a reasonable level.
Well said. All right, coming back, more Sheriff Birch right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about the inventory right now. I mean, we're not too far out from Christmas.
We're not. We have a really good inventory. Most people are trying to lower their inventory, and we're still buying. So, which isn't normal for the end of the year. You try to get your expenses down, but we've got a great inventory right now. We've got 60 units on the ground. We're going next week buying more. Got a lot of Christmas presents out here, a little Lexus convertible. Got a Mustang convertible. Got a lot of trucks, good-looking trucks. We got some small, mid-sized crew cab trucks. Got a couple of trucks under 10 grand, so now's the time to come see us.
Yeah, and somebody has something specifically they're looking for Santa to deliver, chance to get with you to try to find that vehicle.
It is, and that's been real popular right now, like we talked about the other day. If you want to come out and try to find something special to you, we can get on the computer and throw it up on the TV and try to help you find exactly what you want. We'll buy it while you're sitting here and get it in here as quick as possible.
Perfect. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, buddy.
You too. All right. Continue our conversation this hour with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Reading some of these texts here. This one, here we go. The politics of this. This texter says, Sean, please ask him to run for governor. So there.
Well, I'll give the same response as, you know, I did when several people asked me about mayor. I'm a lawman, not a businessman.
Leave it. Nice. That's how you do it. You say that and you just walk away.
Yep.
Talking about things, you know, you mentioned this before. We could kind of hear that this was coming with the ankle monitor last time you were on. You also had talked, you and I have talked several times, you've been in many times to talk about that you are responsible for all of Mobile County.
Yep.
Even, you know, we have municipalities, they have their own PDs, but undergirding everything is the sheriff's department. And it came up, I guess, last year, you and I had several conversations about when y'all went into Pritchard, because citizens, Mobile County citizens, called y'all, said they needed help.
Help, yep.
And y'all went in and did that. Now it's, you know, last time or two times ago, I think you remember you're talking about the follow-through for some of these violent crimes, and not just the policing, but the, I don't know, the clerical work, the showing up at court, the crossing the T's, dotting the I's stuff that had fallen through. And you were, frustrated is a nice word about that. It seems like you have gone the next level and you're doing something different with that.
We are, you know, and we were able to salvage several of those cases and get them ready for trial or for prosecution.
Reminding folks, I mean, these were people that the arrest had been made. They get, but then the follow through wasn't there, right?
The follow through wasn't there. Just, you know, the cases needed, you know, to be tightened up, you know, for prosecution, you know, in preparation for trial. And so we were able to do that on several, and the DA's office did some as well, and kind of divvied those up. But I guess it's been a week and a half or so now. Pritchard Police Chief, you know, came and met with me and, you know, basically said that they are so short-staffed They've lost several officers to a couple of other smaller agencies, and that, you know, they no longer have any detectives. And, you know, ask if we would, you know, help them, you know, with the violent crimes. So, you know, of course, you know, made some necessary legal phone calls for my, you know, I guess to protect myself, you know, the, but I, in the end, said, yes, we will work your homicides, your shootings, you know, and serious assaults, sex crimes, you know, basically what we refer to as major crimes.
So the way it works is that crime takes place in Pritchard. They call y'all or you hear?
Well, they typically, on something that serious, there would be a 911 call.
Okay.
The, you know, Pritchard would still respond initially as far as their marked units.
Mm-hmm.
But then the call would also go to the sheriff's office to start deploying, you know, our marked units and our teams, whether it be our homicide unit and crime scene. And
so y'all would be there alongside the marked units from Pritchard?
Yes. And basically Pritchard would, you know, simply, you know, provide, you know, security, you know, as of the scene, you know, while we're working it. And, you know, we would do the entire investigation.
You know, coming in for the major crimes, but there is also what had brought y'all in before was just a pattern of crimes and things not being enforced in Pritchard. Has that gotten better that you know of?
It has. You know, there was, you know, initially there was, you know, there's no other way to say it, just a lot of lawlessness.
But you said people were scared in their homes.
Yes. And I mean, we still get calls, you know, frequently about particular streets that, you know, and that's what we wanted is community involvement. You know, they will call us and say, hey, this is what we're seeing. These are what the cars look like. You know, please come help us. You know, where in the past that they were afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes some bravery for those, you know, those people who are right there on that street to pick up a phone and call you.
It does. And most of them were, you know, senior citizens who, you know, worked all their life and paid for their home, and you know they don't like the environment that they're having to, you know, live in. And a lot
nor
of them
should
are stepping
they have
up
to.
They should not have to, you know, and that's, you know, they've earned, you know, they've bought their home, they've earned the right to live there in peace, and shouldn't feel like they have to move or anything like that, you know, that they should be comfortable, you know, on their property. And again, that's we've really seen a turnaround in community participation and calling us. And again, we keep those calls anonymous,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we usually respond pretty quickly when they call and address the problems quickly.
Well, I mean, number one, that's the right thing to do. Number two, that just builds a snowball to the right direction. I mean, if I know that, you know, Bob over here called and y'all showed up and you did what you said you were going to do, then I got a situation I can believe because I know Bob believes in what y'all did, and I know Bob, and I'm going to...
Yeah, a couple of conversations, because I take a lot of these calls myself, and there's been a couple of them, and it's like, well, you know, I was talking to somebody at church, and they said, you know, they called y'all, and, you know, y'all acted quickly and took care of it, and, you know, nobody knew who called, and, you know, so can I pass along some information? And so I've had several conversations like that, and so it's good when the community starts talking with one another and,
mm-hmm.
and help them, you know, help us help them is the best way to put it.
Yeah. We got to, you know, we have to have it on all fronts. I mean, look at this weekend we just had and the violence of this last weekend.
Yeah. And I was just reading, there was just another shooting
today,
a few minutes ago.
Oh,
so.
Oh my gosh. After, because I know so, there's one earlier they were talking about. Now there's.
Which one?
The one on Gale.
Yes. No, yep. This evidently this one's on DIP. So,
you're where your roots are, man.
Yep.
And
we've run some operations on DIP. It's not the same DIP as I grew up on. So,
and I mean, because we, you know, you and I both believe in this changing the hearts and minds. You know, something that I work with, you know, our friend John Young on, and all that with Men Unite Against Violence. And we realize it's going to take a long time to turn this battleship. Changing hearts and minds, but we're going to not stop doing it. In the meantime, you got to do law enforcement. Can you eventually, I mean, maybe you have more mobility, obviously, being the sheriff of the whole county, because if I've seen with PD, and if you put pressure here, well, then it just moves over there.
It's whack-a-mole, basically. So,
like maybe because you have the ability to kind of enforce them all, and can you figure out where they're going to pop up next and be there too, make it to where it's exhausting?
I will say, without giving any details, we have a very robust intelligence program, and so we utilize sources and other ways of gathering intelligence, and when they do start planning where they're going to move to, we're usually there waiting on them. So
okay, that's good. That makes it tiring.
Yep.
And when people tire, they make mistakes and get caught.
I have a great team. I'll say that.
And the Cheshire Cat sitting in here, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. We'll be right back. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Thinking too, getting started later this week, Locals Only Christmas 2024. I got folks and local folks, local products that I'm start rolling out. But if you've got somebody you want to get in on the mix, always send me an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. Parameters, I move them because I can. It's Mobile and Baldwin counties, but Washington County, Clark County, Escambia County, even into Northwest Florida, Southeast Mississippi, and maybe on occasion some really cool products from elsewhere in Alabama, North Alabama, Central Alabama. We'll get those in as well. But they're products that are made here. So it's a lot of times people say, well, here's a local shop, and we love local stores. But if that local store sells products made here locally, that's what we do in the Locals Only Christmas List. We'll talk more about that going forward. Also, PSA-wise, talking to the sheriff, he wanted me to remind y'all, he can remind you, when you're walking, when you're doing your shopping, and you're walking through the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows, put the presents in your trunk, and don't carry a purse if you don't need to, put your, identification, money, and credit card in your pocket. But take your face out of the telephone. I mean, I've been doing some Christmas shopping, last couple of weeks, and I usually will sit and look around the parking lot for a minute and, when I get somewhere, and just almost everybody you see is looking at their phone, just oblivious to their surroundings. And that's especially dangerous for females, especially at night. But, I mean, it just amazes me the number of people that, walk from their car to wherever they're going and never take their eyes off their phone. You make yourself a potential victim of either getting, robbed or getting run over.
Yeah. I mean, there's the robbery is one thing, but just getting run over. Yeah. I think for some people, the cell phone is some degree a security blanket. At that, say they come out of a store and it's dark, female or male, but have somebody on the phone with them. You could do that and put it on speaker and be talking to them and have that voice there without looking at the phone.
Exactly.
Put it in your shirt pocket.
And another thing, and I guess this would apply to shopping and the same as, running or exercising. I see people who wear these noise-canceling ear pod things in their ears. And, again, you don't know what's going on around you.
Right. And that could be just getting run over kind of stuff. Yeah.
Put one in one ear and be able to hear with the other.
Yes.
Just simple little things like that to keep everybody safe.
Now, those good points out there. Shane and Mobile says, thank you, Sheriff Birch, for you and your department's diligence, dedication to all the citizens of Mobile County for the continued efforts to find Hunter on Dolphin Island. Several texts about that coming in. And you said, y'all are still on it.
Still on it. And like I said, we're hopeful that we're going to find him, and we'll stay out there as long as we're able to.
Yeah, it's, this is one of the things that think about. The sheriff's department being, we were talking about that airboat one time, the airboat that was down when we saw it down at Mason Hills Farm. And you talk about the equipment y'all use because y'all's jurisdiction is, not just streets and dirt roads, it's marshes and bays and gulf and got a lot of areas you have to cover.
A lot of areas. And we've learned a lot during this operation. I'm looking at some you know, repowering a couple of the boats that we do have, and buying some updated sonar equipment, and you know, because that a lot of that stuff you don't use all the time,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't, you know, we had one of our primary boats, you know, engine went out, you know, early on in operation, so you know, if you don't use them all the time, mm-hmm. you don't know something's wrong with them. And but those on that particular boat, the motors were older, and you know, we were going to repower them at some point anyway, but now we're going to get we've ordered the motors.
Now it's moved that along. You talk about the sonar too, and I don't know what y'all are running on the different boats, but you know, you go to sleep one night and you wake up, you know, offshore fishermen will tell you the technology just got better. You know, like, yeah. I just got the dang thing. And the next year they're like, yeah, but look at it now. Shout out to my buddy Mike Ward, who's always outpacing me with marine electronics. Sonar stuff that regular folks, let alone, you know, a sheriff's department can get are awesome.
Yep. And you know, we obviously, unfortunately, have to use them for a different purpose.
I know. But. Yeah, it's a grisly task that y'all are using them for, but it's, you know, just the technology is just what we can get over-the-counter kind of stuff. It's so good out there. So I'm not, although with the, I think they got a end-of-the-year sale on some of that. We get that on the...
There you go. Yeah, and just one more thing on that operation. You know, we do have a lot of sheriff's office personnel out there, but we have Aaliyah's Marine Resources out there. Daphne Search and Rescue has been out there. Mobile PD has been out there. So it's been truly, and I'm sure in Cajun Navy,
mm-hmm.
and they've provided air assets. So it's been a true teamwork on the whole operation. So I want to make sure everybody gets credit, and I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. But, you know, there are a lot of people involved that dedicated their time, and a lot of civilians that got out there and burned their own gas and spent their own time out there assisting.
Folks will. I mean, you know, the majority of folks, even though you have to deal with the other part of the society a lot, majority of folks are good.
Yep.
Good people want to do right.
That's right.
You know, you look at a group of people, I see that the overwhelming majority of people, whatever crowd I'm looking at, those are all good people.
Yep.
You know, it's just a rarity in there that's a bad person. You know, think about, speaking of the Marine thing as well, this came up, one of my listeners, Jerry in Fort Morgan, had texted about this last week, and I have shared it with people in the legislative side. But, you know, there's this, they passed the, at the state level, to rescind the tax on hearing aids. Which I'm at an age now, I'm cheering. I think that's a great thing. And he suggested maybe the state look at doing this for EPIRBs, you know, the EPIRB equipment, or like I've got EPIRB, I have the Garmin InReach Mini, which is but those kind of safety items that people can have, you know, on their person.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
if we're looking at, you know, we have these state, you know, back to school or severe weather or all these, you know, preparedness things. What about if we were trying to encourage safety?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a wonderful idea.
It's so Jerry in Fort Morgan. We're going to take this idea. If it doesn't pass, I'm going to throw a fit. But I think it's going to be a winner out there. Also, before we wrap up, because I always give you not enough time to remind folks, if they want to go to the website, is it still the overwhelming popular click for who's in jail?
It is, and you know, people talk about it all the time. That's one of the first things they do when they get up in the morning. They wish I could figure out a way to make money on that.
Yeah, now that one
for the department, not for myself, but
the but that's on there. But also, you mentioned this, the ability for people to report things to y'all. Is it truly? I mean, you and I know each other. Is it truly anonymous that they can?
Absolutely,
their name's not going to end up.
I mean, the name, you know, we don't know.
It's not
going to
be in a court case. They're not going to have their name out there.
Their IP address don't even show up when they make a submission. So it's truly anonymous. And we act on every single one of those crime tips. You know, there's a database that, you know, when we get in a crime tip, once it's investigated, then there has to be a disposition put in that database as to that crime tip.
Okay. So that's through the, they can get through the website.
MobileSO.com.
All right. Sheriff, Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone. And as often as you can, buy local.
That's right. That's right. Listen, if that dirtbag Mangione would have bought local, he wouldn't have been caught.
There you go.